Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Psalm 124, verse 7. You have escaped. I need to say it to yourself. And I know that word is not for so many people. It's just for some peculiar people. Hallelujah. You have escaped. Hallelujah. Psalm 124, verse 7. That's actually not my message. That's nowhere where I'm going to be talking from this morning. But I believe God's word to somebody is this morning. Is it on the screen? Okay. Hallelujah. It says, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. It said, the snare is broken and we are escaped. It said, the snare is broken and we are escaped. This is not a trap. It says you escaped out of the snare of a fowler. If you want to go into your dictionary, you gotta look at the definition of a fowler. You know, there are people, especially I think there are some Lagosians whose name are called fowler. Yeah. And they're usually rich people. But it says you have escaped like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. A fowler is a professional bird catcher. I didn't say hunter. A professional bird catcher. Listen to me. In this season, the Bible says, everyone who is born of the Spirit is like wind. So in this season, it is a season for you to move like the wind, so that you can escape out of the bed of the fowler. Don't be predictable this season. Don't be. They say they know when you sleep. That shouldn't be the time you sleep. They say they know when she eats. We have escaped. Listen to me. Whatever the devil has planned, before his execution, you're going to escape. In the name of Jesus. Before its execution, you are going to escape. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so I've been following the services in church. And I've seen that Pastor has been on a series of spiritual authority. So this morning, I just want to continue on that line. So I want to talk about authority in spiritual warfare. So please open your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse 15. 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse 15. We are going to do quite a bit of reading this morning. So in case media is not catching up, you can carry your Bibles. Hallelujah. 2 Kings 6:15 says, and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, it says there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. It says, and his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Verse 16. It says, so he answered, do not fear. He said, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Verse 17. Let's go back to verse 16. I'll come back here. You see, for a very long time, while I used to read this scripture, I used to think that what Elisha was talking about here was the people that are with them, as in their army, are more than us. But please go back to that scripture. He say, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them? So what exactly is Elisha talking about? It means Elisha is not talking about the physical army that the Bible says they were surrounded with an army of horses and chariots. But Elisha was not addressing the physical one. He was addressing the spiritual one. The unseen forces. Are you listening to me? He was addressing the unseen forces. He said, those that are with them. He didn't say they are greater than us. He didn't say that we are outnumbered by them. He said those that there are some unseen forces. He said, but the ones that are with us, they are greater. So how you know they were unseen forces was verse 17. Give me verse 17. It says, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. He said, then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. They were just two. And Elisha said, the people that are with us are more than the people that are with them. The young man, obviously, If he knew this, or if he actually was seeing this, he would not have been afraid. He said, open his eyes. The Bible says, and the Lord opened his eyes, and he saw. So it means the number one thing you need to gain authority in spiritual warfare is sight. Are you with me this morning? Is what? You see, just some years back, I was traveling. I traveled out of Lagos, and I was in the city of Ibadan. And I was driving, and I had some things in my car. And I got accosted by local government officials. Then, as local government officials were accosting me, then VIO came. So, they told me I didn't have a permit to be able to carry goods in my car. And I said, what if it was my own personal goods? They said, I don't have the permit. Actually, this is not personal goods. They are commercial items. I said, okay, no problem. So, they said they will have to take me to their office. I said, okay, let's go. So, we got there. We parked. I was in Ibadan. My aunt lives in, I have a couple of people who lives in Ibadan. But I didn't call one person. So they were asking, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. They said, this is the fine for the offense you have committed. I said, okay. They said, you need to send your boy to the bank to go and pay the fine. I had some of my staff that were with me. So I sent the first one to go and pay the one for the VIO guys. Particular document called acne permit. I said, okay, go and pay this one. And there's nowhere. So after they paid that one, local government guy says, oh, your own fine for this one, you don't have local government papers, it's 25,000. I said, I don't have 25,000. Or rather, I don't even have any money to give you. So we're looking at ourselves. And I just went to one corner. I said, I'm not going to call anybody. And I just started praying in the spirit. Not too long after, one woman was passing. I said, ah, moto wari. Sorry for those who don't understand Yoruba. Say, this is our car. Who actually arrested this vehicle? I did like I was even the one who drove the vehicle. Say, who actually accosted this vehicle? Not too long after, another of their top boss actually came down and said, ah, it has been trying to wink at me since that I should come. Now, what exactly happened? And I drew closer. He says, okay, I will call the girl of this local government boys and the matter will be resolved. So after he had called, the boys who accosted me on the road came to meet me and say, It's like, you know a lot of people in Ibadan. I say, yes. So he said, okay, who exactly are you? The other woman said that this Venku is our gas Venku. I said, who exactly are you? I said, that information is not needed. How can I have my Venku? Finally, they said, the Oga said, I should give them what I have. I said, I don't have anything. He said, ah, Oga, imagine. Oga, don't do like. I said, I don't have anything now. He said, Oga, don't worry. Just look for something. They had wasted my time, so it was my time to waste their own time. You see, the point I'm trying to bring about that is, as Elisha said, those that are with us are more than those that are with them. The things that are working for you, they are more than the things that is working against you. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? I've not gotten into the meat of today, but I know that the Lord will help us. Listen to me. The army that came against Elisha and his servants, the Bible says they were not just soldiers on horses, but they had also soldiers on chariots. So there was nowhere they were going to run to. Because if the horses would not catch up with them, the chariots would surely will. There were no cars in that day. So, except, well, Elisha truly carried the spirit of Elijah. So, Elijah outrun the spirit, outrun chariots of Ahab. So, definitely, Elisha would have outrun. But the Bible says they were surrounded. They were surrounded. So, it tells me that this was not so much of a physical warfare, it was a spiritual warfare. Because most times, when you begin to know that you are being invaded, and this invasion is, it's beyond what meets the eye, you can't piece it and explain it. You ask yourself that, I graduated with first class. How come it's a problem for me to get a job? You can't pieces it. You are looking at your colleague who came out with third class in school and told you that you people came for book. We already knew what we wanted to do. And you see him, he's riding a Benz, and you are still walking around the street of Lagos. This one is now beyond physical. It's spiritual. So I'm trying to help you see how you can now practically begin to piece some of these things together and know how to now apply your own authority in spiritual warfare. Before I move further, please give me Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So today I came to damage a bit of theology. We like to quote this particular scripture when we are intense in prayers and the rest. But while also studying, I also found out that there is what the Bible was talking about when it says bind. And there's also what the Bible was talking about where it meant loosed. The Bible says good understanding giveth favor. So when you apply the revelation of God's word in the right way, you will get results. He said, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So, what is this binding? What is this losing? Because now we have to now look at some of the ministries that do bind and loose. And it seems as if they are never set free. Some of the supposedly deliverance ministry that it seems as if their case is now being worse than, like, see if they should have never gone for a deliverance session. So what exactly is this binding and losing? Let me show you. Give me Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. Matthew 13, 11. I said we are going to read quite a number of scriptures. Or rather, give me Luke 13, 11. I'm building up this and we're going somewhere. It says, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity who was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Verse 12. So when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Case in point. If Jesus had to loose that woman, it means she was bound. Let's continue, verse 13. Hallelujah. We're talking about authority in spiritual life. It says, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Verse 14. It says, but the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to walk. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. Verse 15, and I'll stop on verse 16. He said, the Lord then answered him and said, hypocrite, does not one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom what? Whom Satan has bound. Think of it. For 18 years, be loosed from this bond on when? On the Sabbath. So, that being bound, it was her being bent over. That was what the devil had used to keep her down. Just the way the enemy has bound some people in poverty. Just the way the enemy has bound some people in sickness. Just the way the enemy has bound some people in stagnation. To keep them down. To do what? To keep them down. There's a member in our church in Bagada. And I used to tell him, I said, you know the year word. I talk like that sometimes when I know this person, he has nowhere to go. This one, God is his only hope. So, and I have to tell him, I say, you know the year word. So he had not come to church for a while, and I was trying to call him, I was trying to reach out to him. He works with me on some external project anytime we need like a few people to come in on some things we are doing. So I was trying to reach out to him after a few weeks that we'd gone out for a project. And I couldn't just reach him. His phone was off, dude. The next time I saw him in church, after service, he came to meet me and told me that, sir, I need to see you. I want to tell you something. I said, okay, what's it? He said, he wants to tell me he got a job. I said, okay. This sounds interesting. I said, what job is this? He said, it's a security job. I said, security job. I said, okay, how much are they paying you? He said, 50,000. Yeah. I said, I'm going to be there for 30 days a month. I said, have you divided that 50,000 by 30? So what does he give you? It wasn't so fast. I said, that's less than 1,790. I said, you can barely eat. Talk less. So I said, see, let me just explain to you. You who they told to come and be security, you'll be the thief. I said, you'll be the thief. I said, because you will not know when you start stealing different things in the house. Before you know it, you will see iron. You will look for iron condemn and sell iron condemn. You will not know. I said, but question. You have an OND. You know how to repair phones. You know how to repair stuffs. Why did you go and settle for it? I said, well, I know why you didn't go and settle for it. I said, because your head is not in the street. When you are supposed to be in church is when you are. I called him one day. He said he didn't come to church because he was washing clothes. I said, can you hear yourself? You are washing clothes. And that's the job of a pastor. And please, you should permit your pastor to actually lash you sometimes and even ask for your whereabouts. I said, you are washing clothes. I said, you are washing clothes. I said, hear yourself. You are washing clothes. On Sunday morning. I said, well, okay. After you finish washing clothes, where did you go? He said, nowhere. I said, so you could not come to church, then go back home and wash the clothes? He said, ah. You know, so I'm beginning to think, do you have any reasoning? So when the devil sits on your case, as he sat on that woman's case for 18 years, there are things that you would just be asking yourself, this thing I'm doing is not making sense. So I told him, I said, that job, go and resign. I said, peradventure you have taken it, go and resign. I said, I don't have a job for you, but go and resign. I said, because as I'm seeing you, God has something better for you. I said, so go and resign. I said, and when you resign, come and meet me tomorrow. We're going out together. I said, we are handling a project now. Once we are doing the project, I'm going to talk to a few people on your behalf and we'll look for something to fix you up. If you had been in church since all these days, peradventure, the Lord could have visited you earlier. Peradventure. So he resigned. We finished the project we were doing. And I spoke to someone on his behalf. And he got a job. Well, long story short was, when he came to give the testimony in church, which was what got me the most surprised. So he said, because I told him, I said, when I was telling him to resign, I said, we just finished prayer and fasting. You prayed, you fasted. I don't want to believe that 50,000 is the miracle God can give to you in a month. I don't want to believe. I said, I'm your pastor. I can tell you to start small, start from where you are, but this one is not where you are. It's your village people that is drawing you back. So I said, he came to share a testimony, and while sharing the testimony, he noted back to last year when we had prayer and fasting. And he said that he was telling them in church that he really wants to thank God that this year is the year he actually fasted. He said, because last year, I will call him and I will ask him, is he fasting? And he will tell me he's fasting, whereas he was not fasting. And he said it in church, he said, because I don't play with my stomach. You are playing with your destiny. You don't play with your stomach, but you are playing with your destiny. So when I said peradventure, God could have visited him earlier. It was not just, that woman was bent, Satan kept her bound. That's what the Bible told us. Sir, I need to watch this time. Satan kept her bound. Satan is keeping people bound from just through stubbornness. So he said, this fasting is one of the first times. He said the first day went 6 p.m. He saw that nothing happened. And I really monitored him this time around. Because that's the job we have as pastors. I told him, I said, if I don't rebuke you when I'm supposed to rebuke you, I will give account of you. And that's you need to know that when your pastor is after you, it's also because he has an account to give concerning you. I said, I will give account of you. Let me go back to my message. So we are Matthew 16, verse 19. Jesus was saying that I will give you the keys of the kingdom, that whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But you see, Christians have made a mistake of taking that scripture and said, I bind, I lose. What exactly are you binding? Because the Bible actually puts it there, whatsoever. Are you listening to me? The Bible says, whatsoever. And when we looked at the book of Luke, chapter 13, we saw what that woman was bound from. She was bent over. So this is not the Bible says Satan kept her bound for 18 years. With what? The spirit of infirmity. So Satan actually laid a curse on her. I bind you with the spirit of infirmity. It says, whatsoever you bind. So when you go back home next time and you want to pray with that scripture, don't just say, I bind, I cast, I bind, I lose. You have to have what to qualify that binding with. Are you with me? You have to have what you qualify that binding with. Give me John 14, 14. John 14, 14. John chapter 14, verse 14. If they are getting to see that now. It says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So I'm just trying to put the two scriptures side by side. That one says whatsoever. This one says anything. Because the Bible is giving you a blank check. This one says anything. That one says whatsoever. So a Christian comes and says, Lord, you said if I ask anything in your name, I ask for anything. I ask for anything. You have not asked for nothing. The Bible will also say, it says, itato, you have not asked me for anything. It says, ask that your joy might be what? Full. Are you with me this morning? So, it says, whatsoever you bind, whatsoever you bind, whatsoever you bind. So, the first question you ask, what is it that I want to bind? Now, let me give us what this binding means here. The binding that was talked about in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. I don't like to say Greek and Hebrews when I'm preaching, but I want to just use this. Because sometimes you have to go into Greek and Hebrew sometimes to explain the meaning of a word. You see that word bind there in the Greek means dio. D-E-O. Dio. Now, what it means is to prevent free movement. So, why am I trying to give a bit more definition to that word bind? Is for you to know exactly. I said something earlier. I said the Bible says good understanding brings about favor. So when you have an understanding about something, you see, what you think is just mere words, or what the unbeliever thinks is just mere words, that thing you call rhema, that the unbeliever or the carnal man thinks is just mere words, the devil sees it as light. He sees it as understanding. So he says, before I draw close to this person has understanding. So that thing repels him. It repels him. So I said, Dio means to prevent free movement. To bind with chains. That's the meaning of that word bind there. To bind with chains. To hinder. To hinder. To put under obligation. To put under. So the Bible says Satan bound that woman for 18 years. So it means that for 18 years she made no progress. She was hindered. She was bound. Because the Bible says she was bent over. So and the Bible says that once Jesus said be loosed, she became straight. So that thing that she was bent over with, you could not see it. It was not actually visible to your physical eyes, but there was a chain. And that's how people move around in life. They think they are free. But whereas, you know, I like to usually say this sometimes so that we know the gravity of what. Hallelujah. Why am I trying to go here is because there are certain ways the devil keeps you bound in your marriage, in your career, in your finances. You are trying to take a stock of even your own spiritual life. The devil keeps you busy with activities that you can't even boast of a time in a week that you had 30 minutes to pray. So I'm not just talking about the physical things. He says, this guy, let's allow them promote him at work. So that once they promote him at work, because one thing you need to know, if the devil cannot stop you, he will slow you down. If he can't stop you, what? He will slow you down. So like I said, in looking at Matthew 16 verse 19, you have to look at it. What is it you want to bind? And I put it here. It says, what binding do you want to apply? What's the type of binding? And I got this from another scripture. Give me the book of Mark chapter 9, verse 17 to 25. Mark chapter 9. Because that leads me to the second part of this. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. It says, then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Verse 18. He says, and wherever he seizes him, he throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. Verse 19. He says, he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Verse 20. He says, then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. It says, and often he has thrown him into both the fire and into the water to do what? To destroy him. He said, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Verse 23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Verse 24. It says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Verse 25. So when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him, and what? Enter him no more. When you bind, you issue a jurisdiction. This far, no further. Don't stay around my family. Don't come and torment this child in another way. He says, come out of him and what? And hector him, no what? No more. So, do we want a temporary kind of binding? Or do we just want something, a quick fix? Or do we want something that's going to bring about a permanent solution? Because that's why I was saying that Hallelujah. You see, one thing you need to know about this is binding has nothing to do with making negotiations with the devil. It has everything to do with issuing commands. No more on my children. No more in my family. No more in my business. You issue commands. He said, no longer on my health. No member of my family, none of my children will have any surgery or operation. You issue the commands. You issue the dictates. You stop the hand of the devil. Because now we are talking about your authority. You issue the command according to Philippians chapter 2 verse 9. Give me Philippians chapter 2 verse 9. You issue, because that is now the basis of the legal authority that we have. That is the basis of the legal authority. He says, therefore, God also had highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Verse 10. He says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should what? Bow. Of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. So this is where your authority has a basis. This is where your authority has a foundation. You can issue a what they call that thing in real estate? Quit notice. You can issue a quit notice to the devil and say your time is up. Are you listening to me? Your time is up. You have no. You can tell the devil to let him feel important. Before now, I have been playing with you, but now it's serious business. Your time is up. Pack your load and go. The foundation of your authority in spiritual warfare is not just on the basis of your own strength. It's not just on the days. You know, give me Zechariah chapter 3. Verse 1. Because I want you to now see a picture. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to do what? To oppose him, to keep him bound. Verse 2. He says, and the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? You see, at this time, it's just giving more or less like a synonym to what I was talking about. You have the authority in the name of Jesus. At that particular point, there was no... He could not make a case with his own argument or with his own righteousness. He says, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. As I am standing here right now, I don't have any authority, but my authority... And one thing I like to also talk about when I talk about spiritual authority is, spiritual authority is delegated power. When the LASMA guy stands on the road controlling traffic and he raises his hands up and says, stop. You are not stopping because you saw a guy who was wearing cream and wine trouser. You're not stopping because of that. You are stopping because that guy is backed up by the law of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. And if you do not stop, you're already committing an offense. So he has delegated power to raise his hand and tell you stop. The same way that guy has delegated power, you also have delegated power in the name of Jesus to tell the devil stop. Are you listening to me? To tell the devil this far, no further. To tell the devil, get out of my house. Get out of the life of my children. You have every right. Every legal ground. Every legal ground. He said that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. He said of things on the earth, of things in the heavens. He says even the ones that are beneath the earth, that is hell itself. Are you listening to me? That is hell itself, hell itself, hell itself. Hell itself. Oh, you don't want to be in the position when the gates of hell breaks loose on you. You don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. Yorubas, we say that it's as if a person does not know how to do anything. He says, Oma Dabeniti Omoshe. The person who things were happening for you, you can't just explain. But you can speak to the gates of hell. This one, no. You are not going to have my marriage. Are you listening to me? Peradventure, you had my own parents' marriage. You are not going to have my own marriage. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? So, I want you to go back home today and tell the devil, before, I was binding amiss. But now, I understand. So, I want you to understand me. I want you to also understand me. I want you to also understand me. So I bind every spirit of immorality in the life of my children. I bind. Hallelujah. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. David said, he said, you come against me with spears, with arrows, with sword. He said, I come against you in the name of the Lord God. There's nothing that doesn't bow to this name. When those people actually surrounded Elisha and his servants, it was not a contest of who could throw blow. It was not a contest of guns. It was not a contest of armories. It was a contest in the spiritual. And you should know when the contest is in the spiritual and take it back to the spiritual. You should know. You should know. Know when the contest is in the spiritual and take it back there. Take it back there. Take it back there. That's not the time to be engaging in conversations. You wake up one morning, you go to work, and they send you a mail and tell you before the end of the day, hand over to this also person. Ha! What happened? What happened? The Bible says why men slept. The enemy came and sowed tares. So I want you to go back and use your authority. Use your authority. Use your authority. Use your authority to keep Satan bound in your home. To keep Satan bound in your family. To keep Satan bound over your destiny. Listen to me. You know, I started with Psalm 124, verse 7, and I started to say that the Lord told me to tell some of you that you've escaped. You see, from today you will develop new wings to fly. There are people who Satan keeps bound. They don't seem bound in the physical. But Satan has kept them bound. To do what? So that to keep them within his reach. When a fowler catches a bird, one of the first things he does is to defeather the bird. So that the bird can fly. He defeathers it. So that before the bird tries to take one or two steps, he can still pull it back. Are you listening to me? He keeps it bound. Things are happening, but you don't know you are bound. He defeathers it. Things are... So don't be moved by... Yeah, I got a promotion at work. Oh, my salary was raised. Oh. Don't be... You need to now go back and like Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes. I said, sight is your advantage in spiritual warfare. Sight. Lord, open his eyes. Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes. What is happening around me that I am not seeing? What is not in my advantage that I am not seeing? Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. What is the thing that are coming against me, coming against my marriage, coming against my family, coming against my children that I am yet to see? Because the devil can entice you in one area to keep you blind to other areas. To keep you blind to other areas. So like I said, sight is an advantage in spiritual warfare. So we are going to ask the Lord this morning to open your eyes. 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 That which I do not know, that the enemy is using as an advantage over me, over my family.